You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, you've reached Jonah Radio. Thanks for calling up. On this week's episode, we do have some music news for you. Tool's got a new album coming out. Rolling Stone is going to take on Billboard for the chart wars of 2019. And then we also are going to talk about songs and music that remind us of specific points in our life being on vacation. Cash, what do we got for music?
This week, we've got music from Death Rut, Summer Cannibals, Sore Thumb, and Adam Sandler.
Hey, buddy, if roll that beautiful bean kind of footage.
I'm gonna stick my dick in the mashed potato.
Neil, out here, just a little bit
sweeter.
Get off the cross, dude.
It gets a lot colder.
Hang out with your friends.
I can strut around for you.
Valediction.
I don't understand. It's just fun.
First of all, the fun's a cold, bro.
Hey, bud.
Welcome to yet another installment of the catalog of guffaws that is Jonah Radio. I am Jonah Ray. The guffagalog. I'm Jonah. I'm Jonah Ray. This is the sound of my voice. Mm-hmm. Over here, we got Cash Hartzell, our producer.
Hi, everybody. I'm Cash Hartzell.
And the man with the plan, Mr. Neil Mahoney.
Hi, everybody.
So thanks for tuning in. Mm-hmm. We're recording this on a Wednesday night in gloomy,
yeah,
South Pasadena, California.
Did not bring, yeah, a sweatshirt. I am unequipped.
It's a bit chilly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit chilly.
Yeah, it's like the '60s.
Yeah, but we got a phenomenal show for you today. It's gonna be full of learning, laughter, and love.
And wait, are we rebroadcasting an episode of today's special?
Yes. Yeah.
Shout out to my Canadian children's television work.
Oh, we got that out.
But
here,
we're going to get right off the bat. We're going to play a submitted song from a band called Death Rut. This is off of Kerosene. It's the song. It's the single. The song Kerosene.
Oh,
that was Kara's Scene by Death Rut.
Not what I, when you said Death Rut earlier, I did not, that's not the music I really thought.
That's not the music you thought. That is good. A little lo-fi, a little jangly. I like it. They submit their music. If you want your music heard on this podcast,
what should you do?
You should, you know, Neil, this is the, thank you for asking. submit it to jonahradio, R-A-Y-D-I-O, at gmail.com.
That's is that right. An email address or a website?
That's an email address, jonahradio at gmail.com.
It's not a blog?
It's not a blog. You can just email us directly and then plead your case for why you think we should be
the
playing your music.
The pleading is my favorite part.
The pleading is usually what saves a lot of people's terrible music. You be the judge, not us. We're not here to judge. We're here to do what feels right.
This might be a bad time to bring this up, but I am here to judge.
That's right.
No, that
that's
was right, he was very clear from the beginning, actually, that is, right? Yeah, when we started having talked about this.
Yeah, when like, we met Neil in 2001, and, or you were, you guys met in 2002.
No, 2002.
Okay, yeah, we all met in 2002.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was back out here for the anniversary of 9/11.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, it was a big party out here. Yeah, yeah.
It was a, that was a big tour that you just ended here, right?
No. We were just starting the Mr. Show tour, and then we were in San Diego for a test show, and I saw a Hummer painted red, white, and blue.
Ooh.
With a giant Never Forget decal in the back that had a photorealistic airbrush painting of the towers on fire.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I was like, is that what you want to see every morning when you go?
Yeah, that is kind of odd.
Hummer to go to work at your weird law firm or real estate company.
You know what? That is perfect time. That sort of reminds me of that. We should really get into
a segment
that we like to call
Music News.
Music News, where we, three aging white men, discuss popular music. In the world of music.
Well, this is
popular culture.
And popular culture, that's right.
Where they intersect.
Guys, I'm going to bust through some quick hits of there's a bunch of music news that have come out.
Okay.
I'm just going to kind of go down the list real quick and we'll get into the other stories later, but just quick hits. Tool is releasing an album after 13 years of not releasing an album.
Ooh.
Yeah, so on August 13th, they'll be putting out an album after 13 years. How about that?
That's pretty. I mean, were you guys Tool?
What
fans?
Are you? What is happening?
I don't know. That's exciting.
Okay. Also, the Get Up Kids, former guest Matt Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy,
you have a sound drop for him, don't you?
I do.
Get off.
I'm gonna go home and listen to Repeater.
Yeah, Matt Pryor from the Get Up Kids was here, and his band, the Get Up Kids, are heading out on tour in North America with one of my favorite bands, Cloud Nothings.
So oh,
that's,
cool.
That's cool.
Pretty cool.
The cross, dude.
Here's another crazy thing. Rolling Stone magazine is starting their own music charts, directly challenging the Billboard charts, a chart that has never been challenged.
That is true. Why would
Billboard charts are now a challenged chart by Rolling Stone charts?
What's going to be the difference? What are you going to go?
Well, Rolling Stone is going to update theirs daily as opposed to weekly.
Okay,
and they're going to have apparently a better algorithm for marking streams on all the different platforms.
Oh boy,
YouTube, SoundCloud, downloads, all that stuff.
Okay,
so
one thing I do remember from Rolling Stone when I had a subscription was you'd open up the back and it was always was it the Billboard Top 100 that was in the back? The back page was
they would
always
usually do it wasn't Billboard,
but
they,
I always remember there was a college radio in it.
College radio, and then they'd always do some stunt one that was bluegrass classic rock reissues.
And there is I think it's time for, not that Rolling Stone is new, but probably the people running this thing is new.
Yeah,
and the fact that the country Billboard charts did that shit to our bud Lil Nas X.
Yes.
And that lady that covered him.
That's true. There's a lot of people that covered him. We'll get to that later in the segment.
Ooh.
Guys,
geez.
Here's a couple things I didn't know. Showtime is going to be doing a four-part documentary on the Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, I saw teasers for this 3 months ago. I'm so psyched.
It's called Of Mics and Men.
Oh, yeah, they started putting up billboards and stuff for it.
Yeah, Of Mics and Men, the Wu-Tang Clan Of Mics and Men. It's set to begin May 10th, which is very soon. But also, recently, in celebration of Wu-Tang, they now have a street corner in Staten Island called the Wu-Tang District. And this is what Ghostface Killer said. He said, "I never saw this day coming. I knew we were some ill MCs, but I didn't know that it'd take us this far."
That is Fantastic. I'm not gonna go too deep. I'm just happy for them.
Are you even able to?
I don't think you've got the required equipment.
Well, it's like a weird mixed blessing, I guess, because from my listening to the Wu-Tang Clan, they were not happy about the streets where they grew up in. Is there anything to like, hey guys, maybe like a nicer neighborhood to show how far we've risen?
What do you want? Somewhere in Midtown?
I'm not saying it needs to be Midtown. Like, get them away from Trump Tower. I don't think they'd be good for that either.
Yeah,
but I think
the object is to inspire the people who are still there.
Okay, all right, yeah. That totally makes sense.
Which is to say, gentrifying graduate students.
Yeah, maybe it is just the fact that the neighborhood has come up.
I don't know. Maybe Chinese investors should
buying up whole buildings and leaving them vacant.
Well, maybe they should also change the mural in Queens is it Queens or Brooklyn that has the Notorious B.I.G. mural?
Or I believe that would be Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, where it's I forget which neighborhood in Brooklyn, but it says like what's the line? Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. When I was young, I couldn't picture this.
Picture this. Oh yeah,
yeah. So should they change that to PlayStation
4, PlayStation Xbox 4, One
Xbox
X.
One X. It almost still works.
Max, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The meter. It almost.
When I was young, I had no concept of this.
Updating legends. That's what we do here on Jonah Radio.
We sure do, Cash. Speaking of legends, recently there was three unreleased David Bowie demos from the 60s.
Demonstrations.
Demonstrations for further. What do you demo? Yeah, it does.
Yeah. That's.
Yeah. So this is a demonstration of what we can do.
This is a demonstration of what we intend to do.
Ah, okay. That's nice. I like that. But so three David Bowie from the 60s, which is pretty neat. This is from 1967. Some demos, which are very, very 1967.
Yeah.
Check them out.
Gummy?
Yeah. Well, a little bit.
Once upon a time, there was a little bunny
who
lived in a village of little bunnies. His job was to guard the frontier of their little bunny country.
This was the part of English history where they most of their exports were little bunny stores.
Naughty little bunnies were smuggling carrot juice, bunny drugs, and other things like that.
Okay, that was one song.
Oh boy.
Did you ever have a dream or two where the hero was a guy named
There's like it's funny, like there's like even that little it's like you're like, oh, that sounds like a lot of stuff that was going on at the time, but then there was that Bowie like a Superman, like it's like it's like he's talking about, you know, these kind of fantastical things, but that quick little Superman.
Yeah, yeah, he's very much a Beatles fan.
Around the same time as 67.
Yeah, I mean everybody was a Beatles fan.
Sometimes the best lost.
It's very 60s. Yeah.
It's very
60s, like,
but
late 60s.
It's still that voice, and voice is good.
Yeah.
And that voice made up for a lot of terrible music he made in the 80s.
Tin Machine Man.
Dude, that's one of my favorite Baron Von additions. Like when we were doing, I can't remember what episode it was in season 11 of Mystery Science Theater, but like there was something like, it was just supposed to be like an announcer happens. And he's like, it's Saturday Night Live with your musical guests, David Bowie and Tin Machine. And it was like right up Joel's alley. He was like, Tin Machine, what a bad idea. Recently, it was announced that Jeff Tweedy of Wilco fame,
mm-hmm.
He is going to be, he was to make an appearance on a TV show, what do you think, which TV show would you guess?
Last Man Standing, Tim Allen Standing? Show.
You think Wilco, Jeff Tweedy? No, no, what do you?
That WKRP is still on, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Documentary Now.
Oh, that's actually a really good one, but it's a bit bigger than that because...
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Jeff Tweedy
is doing Curb.
Is going to be cast in the new season.
Oh, that's a Jeff Garland move then.
What? Yeah, that's right. Because Jeff Garland is Chicago.
Thing, yeah.
Well, Chicago, and he also hangs out at Largo all the time.
Yeah, both of them do.
But yeah, he's going to be he's going to The musician is real-life friends with Jeff Garlin. And, yeah, so...
That's...
I was expecting a bigger reaction than that.
What do you mean?
It makes sense.
I was just trying to have fun with music stuff.
And I was trying to have fun with dead air.
ooh, new slogan. New slogan. Having fun with dead air. Jonah Radio, having fun with dead air.
That's true. Okay, guys, speaking of drama, recently Blink-182 announced a joint tour with Lil Wayne. Of course, this is right before they announced they released their new single, Blame It On My Youth. Which sounds like any Blink-182 song from the past decade or so to me. So when they announced the Lil Wayne co-headlining tour, Blink-182 and Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
And so and then I saw a lot of people on their Instagram, on Mark Hoppus's Instagram, being very upset.
Very upset.
Very upset about it. And I pulled out my classic.
The Jonah Ray
tweet.
Trademark.
Respond, where I just called him a dork.
Mm-hmm.
So I said a lot of dorks in these... comments, and
how'd they take that?
Not too well at all. Let me read you some of the responses I got. This one guy says, let's look at this. I thought I had more. Yeah, you're right.
Hey, could you hit that? Put your knife away. Drop.
Yeah,
with your knife.
This guy, Nostradamus, says, certain irony about someone named Jonah who is making passive-aggressive, snarky comments in the comments calling other people dorks. That's like textbook dork.
He does. Let me give Dumbass his due here. He may be right.
He may be right. No, it is. It's like, you know, I was just commenting.
I may be crazy.
A lot of dorks.
I just may be the lunatic you're looking for.
Yeah. And then I said, very ironic that someone named Jonah would. I was like, I responded with, like, it's like, sorry, I picked my name as an infant child out of my mom's womb.
Yeah,
I love the idea.
I don't Jonah, get why your name Jonah, has anything to do with it.
Jonah is a baby's name.
That's
when they gave it to me when I was a baby.
Yeah, he says, I mean, you're an adult. You can legally change your name. I would if I was named Jonah. That name should have an age limit to it. It was quite fun.
Tell that to cool. Jonah Salk, my friend.
That's right. If he was so embarrassed.
Jonah Salk.
Jonas. Yeah.
No, the guy who invented salt. Jonah Salt.
Yeah, but here's a couple others. A lot of dorks in these comments. I said, here's a guy said, Blink used to represent the dorks. Someone said, a lot of fans in these comics. Fixed it for you. That was another one. Corgi's Wagtail says, who the fuck are you? Drog says, you know we can see you, right?
Could they see you?
Yeah, I responded to him saying, I was counting on it. Some guy said, this tour is whack and so are you. Who are you even? And then some guy's like, right? Fuck this Jonah guy. This is not Blink-182. And then some guy said, "Hope
Kumail."
He said, "Hope you enjoy your time at Comedy Central. Maybe one day you'll get a real career." And I responded to him. I was like, "Comedy Central already fired me. Keep up."
Nailed it.
And then some guy said, "Who are you calling a dork, asshole? You think Lil Wayne and Blink-182 fans will enjoy each other's set?"
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think a lot of white people. That are
I think a lot
rock.
Of people would dig it. It's like a lot of kids listen to the same energy. Shit now.
Yeah, it goes back to that thing that I observed about people who are a lot younger than me. They've never paid for music, so it all costs the same.
Yeah.
So they listen to everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point that you made.
First of all, fuck you.
Yep.
But so that's
I like how you took the national story. And made it intimate. That's what
that's
I like
called,
about
that's called
music.
Narcissism.
Oh yeah. Oh, right.
Made this big thing, and then kind of made it about me. But speaking of like collaborations and the fans crossing over, Lil Nas X.
Oh,
it does not stop with Lil Nas X, guys.
Oh boy. Oh,
recently,
boy.
He showed up on John Mayer's live feed on Instagram, and they sang "Old Town Road." They sang Old Town Road together.
This is, I can't believe, we've had occasion to play a version of this song for 5 weeks now.
Yeah. Oh. And this is a John Mayer on guitar. So far, my favorite version.
I don't know, I kind of like last week's.
Terrible mix.
Not well, so bad.
Instagram mix.
Not so bad at all.
I'm enjoying the Little Nas X's ride through fame.
Me too.
I really am.
And recently he was on the great show on Showtime, and all our listeners should be watching this show. Desus and Mero.
Mm-hmm.
Desus.
Desus?
Yeah.
Why do I say Desus?
It's
it
the
looks
way
like that, but
yeah,
it's
spelled.
Yeah, it's meant Desus. To rhyme with like D's nuts and Jesus.
Okay, so Desus and Mero.
Yeah.
Have a show on Showtime, and they had Lil Nas X on it recently to play a game called Country or Nah. And it's like watching it, like Lil Nas X, like you can tell he's like a bedroom musician. Like
yeah, yeah.
He like was making music in his house.
Yeah.
And is like, really kind of didn't ever have like this persona.
Yeah.
So he's always kind of thrown off when he's on these things.
Did he play his first like concert show?
Yeah.
Like,
well, last week we talked about it at Stagecoach where he went up with Billy Ray Cyrus.
Has that happened yet?
That happened. Yeah, that happened last week. We talked about it when it happened.
I thought it was like going to happen.
Oh, no, it happened. Yeah. Oh. Different. And so.
No, you know what it was? The story we read was before, but it had happened.
It had happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yo, it's your boy, Desus Nice.
Kimmerer in the building.
That's right. We got Lil Nas X in the building. The king of the yeehaw agenda. Nice right now, you are the king of country.
KOC.
So right now, we got to quiz you.
Wait. We don't want to say that. We don't want to say that. I don't agree with that last one. Let's do
it. How about that?
Wow.
Lil Nas X going, whoa, don't call me king of country.
The prince of country.
I'll take that. Okay.
The prince of country.
So he likes that.
The Duke of Country.
There you go. So we're going to ask you a couple of things. Real quick hits. You say country or nah.
Gotcha.
Okay? So we're going to hit you. First one, hot sauce.
What do you guys think? Hot sauce.
That's country.
That's country, yeah.
That's country?
Yeah.
I'll say it's country.
But there's also like, there's like a hip hop world definition of country, which is like, oh, like my relatives who live.
Yeah.
I think though, this is specifically in regards to how Lil Nas X is a country artist.
Okay.
So, I can't really rewind on this thing, so let's...
Yeah. Hey.
Country.
Stepping in...
We're all right. All right.
Yeah.
Horseshit.
Stepping in horseshit. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, me
yeah,
too.
That's country.
Country.
Yeah.
Christmas?
Nah.
Ooh.
NBA jeans.
NBA jeans?
I don't know.
I'm going to say nah.
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 Trick-or-treating.
Trick-or-treating. What do you guys think? I say that's country.
That's nah.
No, it's not because it's all the houses are too far apart.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Christianity.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a good point.
Neil.
Nah.
Oh.
Ooh.
Nah.
White people with dreadlocks.
Nah.
Nah. Nelly.
Nah.
Country. Spaghetti.
Country grammar.
Country grammar.
Country.
Ghost.
Nah.
Suede.
Country.
Mm-hmm.
Denim.
Country.
Racism.
That's what I would answer too.
Yeah, that's as we talked about before in this beloved segment, Lil Nas X was taken off of the Billboard country charts, and a lot of people gave the blame to the racist industry of Nashville country music.
Of the people, yeah, the people that did the charts, it didn't reflect something.
Yeah, exactly. Guys, Jack White.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Jack White is now an honorary doctorate, has an honorary doctorate from Wayne State University.
In upholstering?
Jack White, the White Service Roman, received a Doctor in Humane Letters in honor of his dedication to Detroit and significant contributions to the arts as one of the most prolific and renowned artists of the past two decades during the school's commencement ceremony today.
How about that?
How about that? Two decades we've been living with Jack White.
Yeah, that tracks.
A little bit longer if you were an upholstery client of his.
Yeah.
That's something. I actually started listening to a bunch of Oblivions this last week. You know the Oblivions?
No.
They are also sort of the Detroit.
Oblivions?
The Oblivions. Before the Oblivions, there's a band called.
Because there's a Chicago band called Oblivions.
It might be the same.
But
it's Detroit. I know them from the Deadly Snakes.
I take some responsibility in that.
Yeah, I was doing it to both of you.
Okay, great. Oh. Yeah. Thanks for helping out.
there is a big Detroit sound that I feel like got sort of narrowed into Jack White as Jack White as the ambassador for Detroit rock and roll music for a while.
Yeah, I mean there was a lot of those bands. Doing, yeah, yeah. I think
Dirt Bombs. Garage. Yeah.
Helicopters. They're from Sweden.
Yeah. Dirt Bombs. What was the band like?
And there's several different. Come on.
Oh.
Jack White punched that dude.
Oh,
I remember.
Come on.
Was that like the? Was it like the Brave or
no?
The
it wasn't the Brave. Faint. No, it wasn't the Faint. Faint. Different. Faint are playing tonight tomorrow night in Hollywood.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Write in if you know the name of that band.
Yeah. also the punk rock bowling is coming up and I will be doing stand up at the punk rock bowling was a punk rock festival in Las Vegas,
Nevada.
It's a bowling festival and a punk rock festival. I'll be doing stand up on Friday night at the thing. Then I will probably go
what day
home.
Is that?
It's Friday night, May 24th.
No.
And then the band start on the 25th and they go to the 26th, 27th. You got Rancid, Descendants, The Specials, Flag with Keith Morris, which is something, you know. You got Refuse, The Hives. You got The Vandals, The Damned, Fear, Fucked Up. You got Adolescence, Wellingtons, Nightbirds. A lot of bands playing.
That's a big, big, big venue.
If you could stretch that over like several months, I might see half of those bands.
Yeah. It's I'm thinking about like going home on Saturday and coming back on Sunday
because
they gave me a hotel room for the whole weekend.
Oh,
and it's not that far of a drive.
Why go home?
I don't
flush 8 hours down the toilet.
Spend time with my wife. I don't know.
Flushing 8 hours down the toilet. Turlet.
You talk about how you always have nothing but time.
Yeah.
You wish you could easily flush down 8 hours of time.
I do it on the reg, but like, I don't know. I just don't like. Well, no. Yeah, 8 hours.
You really should. You should take up an instrument.
No, I can't. It's on my lease.
Oh.
guys, recently Summer Cannibals just released. Just announced their album, which will be coming out. It's called Can't Tell Me No. And this is a album that they kind of made like really quickly after getting rid of their old album. And they just released their first single
from their old album.
Yeah, they recorded a whole album. They didn't want to do
release it. Oh, okay.
They didn't want to release it, so they just started from scratch. And then I actually end up when the album comes out, the video that I directed for them will be coming out along with it. Full disclosure, but this is their first single off of that album called False Anthem. When we get back, we're going to talk about songs that remind us of vacation or vice versa.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy. That was Summer Cannibals, False Anthem. Okay. You're listening to Jonah Radio if you're just tuning in. We're having a lot of fun just hanging out, having a good time. Aren't we, James Hetfield?
Oh, thanks for coming in, James.
Thanks for coming in. Well, okay. We'll see you around.
All right.
Okay,
yeah. Good, no, good no. The parking not validated.
Yeah, it. Yeah. That's but yeah, yeah. Parking is not validated.
I'm
James.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Should have put that in the email.
Should have really. We got to let these people know what is going on.
If you're going back to Malibu, then this time of day you're best off with Ventura the...
Boulevard. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom, for coming by.
Ghost of Tom Petty. Yep. Really appreciate it. And suffer there. Yeah, sometimes when you're stuck in traffic, you just gotta.
Sorry about that, Dave. You know, yeah, that Jesus. Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, call again.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Yeah. Yep. Sometimes you gotta take the Cahuenga Pass. a stretch a bit. So here's what we're doing right now. We're going to be doing this thing. Our theme for this episode is songs that kind of like make you remember a trip or a vacation that you took when you were growing up or a certain part of your life.
Yeah.
Sometimes you know a song will come on shuffle and it'll immediately. That's the great thing about music is that sense memory of just immediately. You know, wormhole opens up and you are like
time travel.
I'm sorry, what, Neil?
Time travel. Neil, could you please remove your lips from my stomach? That is very uncomfortable.
Time travel. And if you've watched the recent Avengers movie, you also know there are themes and it has a lot to do with
time travel?
Come on, Neil. You sandbag it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not a third.
It's joke structure.
No, it's not.
First two are the same. Third one's different.
Because mine was sweaty. Like, the fact that my joke was sweaty.
I construct drama for a living.
You don't! It's follies Holy and farces. All right, so.
Get off the cross, dude.
Yeah, good point. Yeah. So, mine. Well, the first thing that came to mind for me was when what was the year that Terminator 2 came out?
Jesus.
Terminator 2.
1990?
Yeah, it was like, yeah.
91?
Yeah, it was maybe 92? Oh, hold on.
That was the first rated R movie I
What year? No.
RoboCop 3.
What year did Terminator 2 come out?
Terminator 2. Judgment Day was released July 3rd. 1991.
Okay, 1991.
All right, so around that time, my family took a trip to the island of Kauai.
Kauai.
And on the last day we were there, me and my brother Adam saw the movie Terminator 2, Judgment Day, which of course has the song You Could Be Mine by Guns N' Roses. Is not the song.
Okay.
But before we went on the trip, I got a Walkman for the first time.
Okay.
And the first tape I bought.
Tapes or discs?
It was tapes. Yep. Walkman, not a discman.
Gotcha.
A Walkman, not a discman.
Oh, so you're using it as the particular brand, not necessarily.
It was a Sony Walkman.
Okay, so it was a Walkman. It wasn't Walkman. Like a.
It wasn't a Sarnie.
It wasn't a personal tape player. It was a Walkman.
It was a Walkman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had on repeat the entire trip the Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
And so I'll always remember, which also God Give Rock and Roll to You, big part of my life. Everyone knows that. I love that song. But the Kiss version, of course, that's on the way they play it at the end. But
Primus.
Tommy the Cat by Primus is what they're playing when they are trying to get to the Battle of the Bands.
Oh, okay.
And so every time I hear Tommy the Cat, I think about Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, and I think about the soundtrack, and I think about the long kind of meandery country roads of Kauai.
You don't think about the long meandery roads that we took from Terminator 2 to Bill and Ted's?
It's all part of the same trip, Cash.
I guess it is. I guess you're right. I'm sorry.
Wait, hold on, Cash. Are you trying to? Are you honestly trying?
I'm hiding my face in shame.
This motherfucker is trying. to kneel me.
No, I'm taking that out. No, we can't use the crying baby one anymore.
Why not?
There are too many people with actual babies that listen to this podcast that have emailed us to go like, look, every time I hear that, I think it's my actual baby, and I get pissed off. And
okay.
Then I'm mad at my baby.
I'm sorry to say, Cash, we cannot take out the sound of the baby because people in the state of Georgia listen to this, so we won't be able to.
We cannot take out the baby.
Drama for a living.
All right, that's mine. I think about our trip to Kauai. That was very important to me, Cash. Chariots of Fire me.
Get off the cross. Look at the title deed.
Check out the title deed.
Title deed.
That's the song from Next, the Bob Odenkirk pilot, where he had that song. Check out the title deed.
Oh God, that
there's a bunch of dads
rock.
That get together and do a Limp Bizkit song.
Yeah, that was.
All right, so Cash, what's yours?
Mine is a band called Wolf Mother. When we had iPods, but they were like standalone. They didn't connect to the internet or anything like that. So you had the music you had on it, and that was it. You couldn't stream or anything like that. And I did a tour for American Eagle Outfitters, a comedy tour that was booked from like February to March through the Midwest and the East Coast. And it... you would trade music at that point. Like, everybody would, like, burn stuff.
You remember Sanuti? Sanuti was a program you could put on your Mac or your PC. And that Sanuti is iTunes backwards. And you could rip music off of other people's iPods.
I think you gave me a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I think we all traded music that way. But this was... We went on the road and we didn't really have internet. We had to use the internet for all the streaming stuff or the upload stuff that we had. So my sound guy had like 5 albums, and Baron Vaughn, who was on the tour with us, gave...
Of the New Negroes,
of Mystery Science Theater, of American Eagles Campus Comedy Challenge 2007, or whatever the fuck
it
was.
Grace and Frankie.
Brian Callen was also on that tour, but this was one of the albums... And it was the newest thing that I think any of us had. So we listened to it as we drove across the country. And driving one day in particular, driving from Virginia to Boston, it was supposed to be an 8-hour drive. It turned into a 26-hour drive. And I listened to this album 6 or 7 times during that entire drive.
Yeah.
So I can never listen to this without thinking of like just these frozen... empty wastelands that I had to cross. And it's good music for that.
Yeah, that's very, very good. It's like kind of like desolate and dark, but also good driving music.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly.
Neil, what do you got?
I don't know. What's my first one?
Whichever one you want.
Just play the first one.
Okay.
I'll remember my story. Oh, boy. I think I put 2 of the same song on here.
Or two of the same band?
Fuck it. So this is It's Shoved by Melvins. It's on Bullhead. I went on a ski trip.
Were you not prepared for this?
Well, I wrote it down, but I left the books in my bag immediately to my left. I was a part of the ski club, which was not really a club. It was just you went on one ski trip a year in high school. And... we were all super into the Melvins, and we were driving up there on this bus, and my friend Dan said, like, if I ever met a girl that liked the Melvins, I think that would be it for me. And then that weekend, I met a girl from Connecticut who liked the Melvins, and we're still married.
No fucking way.
Wow.
That's weird. Crazy.
Yeah.
This is a high school trip.
High school trip, junior year.
Wow.
And he just says this... Because you guys are rocking the Melvins.
Yeah. We're like doing the like headphone splitter out of a Discman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were just like, yeah, that would be cool. Because like there's no girls really where we grew up that were into that kind of music.
Yeah.
And there's another school from Connecticut that was also staying at the same like ski lodge that we were staying in. And then, she got to hitting on them. That was it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's stupid fucking high school junior manifesting and using up all the magic the rest of us need.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, that's pretty fun.
And I like how Neil's memory is someone else's happiest memory.
Well, no, it's a trip. It's
No, it still goes in the lines, yeah. But it's just.
I brought it up to them at their wedding. I was like, don't you remember, like, on the way up there, you said this thing about the Melvins, and then we met Karen, and she looked at the Melvins. And he's like, fuck, no.
Oh my God.
It's like, I don't remember that.
Oh, well, that's crazy. Good thing you're around.
Yeah.
The
I'm the Scrivener.
The what?
Scrivener.
What was that?
I think they do the stuff on Ivory, right?
Yeah, they like keep track of everything.
Scrivener?
Yeah, isn't that what that means?
Scrivener?
I think it was like the literate guy when that was like a
scribe?
Job. Yeah, basically.
What's a Scrivener?
I thought it was the guy that does like the engravings on ivory.
Clerk, scribe, notary.
Oh, okay. All right.
Siri's really getting a push in this.
All right, my next one.
Yeah, Siri.
So when I first moved up to Los Angeles.
California?
California. I got like all the demo discs, like the promotional discs from when I was working at the record store.
Mm-hmm. Demonstrations.
No, you're right. They were not demo discs. They were promo discs.
Promotional discs. Yeah.
When I moved to LA, all my childhood friends, like a bunch of them, all ended up moving to Seattle. Mm-hmm. And so when I would
Washington.
Get home, it was Seattle, Washington, where I just was for Crypticon, which was great. But I was... if I would get homesick, I wouldn't, you know, I could never afford a ticket back to Hawaii. If I was homesick to hang out with my friends, I would just drive up the 5.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
All the way up to Seattle and hang out with my friends up there, mm-hmm. for like a week or two. Back when you can just do that.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Obama.
Yeah.
And those, wait, why can't you do that anymore?
Yeah, the things he set up at the state borders? I don't know. Are you getting pulled over a lot more?
You can't see someone off on the road. No, I had nothing else going on.
Yeah.
I had a little Joe job that would be fine with me taking off work because they didn't have to pay me.
Yeah.
Ron Benway was like, he was just like, yeah, that's just money. You don't do any work here anyway. And your feet smell real bad. This is a side note. Benway Records bands, like if they were ever retiring their Converse All-Stars, uh-huh. would sign them and give them to the record store, and they had them all kind of like lined up.
Oh, that might have had something to do with it.
No. But like they were all fine. Like it's like there was no extra smell. My feet reeked. My feet sweat, and I've since figured out like how to keep it in check, but like
yeah,
you go, buddy.
Yeah, thanks. But it was like I remember my friend Jason Gomes.
That's a shot at me.
My friend Jason Gomes was like, if in Hawaii you come over and you take off your shoes, it's like he'd be like, go wash your feet. Like he would make me go wash my feet, like before entering his house. But like when I finally gave Ron, I was like, I'm gonna give you my All Stars, and then he shrink wrapped them before putting them up.
Good burn, Ron.
Yeah, Ron. So on one of the discs I had was, of course, this year, 2001. So I'd be driving up the 5 up to the Pacific Northwest, like straight. It's like 22 hours.
Yeah. You slightly turn in the middle of California, but other than that, there's really nothing.
You go by Kauschwitz, which is like a crazy cow farm that's disgusting and smells terrible and makes you sad.
It's a slaughterhouse.
You go through the Central Valley, which is nothingness. You go through Stockton, which is terribly sad. You go through Sacramento, which is the capital, so even more sad.
Yeah.
You go through farm country, and then you get into Butte County. And Shasta County starts to become really pretty.
Shasta.
And then you get into Oregon, and it's just really pretty for the rest of the drive, but a long, long, long drive.
And this is
every time I hear this album and this song, this is like what I think, because this was on repeat as I was going up because it just come out and I was obsessed with it.
Well, one of the things that, and I know it's going to hold true for my story too, is how much this is tied to what we used to have to deal with, which is physical media, where it was just like, this is all I have.
Yeah.
Or like, I'm going on a trip, I'm bringing 4 CDs, and I'm just going to have to listen to those 4 CDs over and over and over.
Yeah, I think I had that.
You should have brought more CDs, my man. Get yourself a Case Logic.
Man. What do you think has happened to the fucking Case Logic people? They were living so large in 1997, and it was all crumbled underneath them. Mr. and Mrs. Case Logic are,
I think it's
fucking
probably
populous.
They're just selling at truck stops, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like having just that. Well, I think I had this CD and I had Short Music for Short People, which was a Fat Records
comp. Yeah,
which was like it was like 100 songs, under 30 seconds or 1 minute or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. Tons of great bands are on it. But like, I remember like I read an interview where Fat Mike was, he was like going to ask all these bands to do really short songs. And then he was going to ask Spaz, who are known for doing like, you know, Power Violence, like really short songs. Or like, he's like, I want you guys to have the longest song on the CD. I want it to be like a two minute Spaz song. And then they like just gave him a really short, normal, typical Spaz song, which was like making fun of every other band on Fat Records. Like generic fucking riffs and shitty harmonies. But Cash, what's your next one?
This actually also has to do with sort of physical media, the limitations of physical media.
So you're teeing yourself up?
I was a little teeing myself up.
Big surprise. Inside dealing.
Look, I've...
Sorry I brought up the whole Fat Records thing story.
Well, no, that's... That also...
What is the song?
The song is Green Shirt by Elvis Costello. So when I went to Europe and backpacked by myself for like a month.
Must be nice.
It was kind of nice. It was extremely isolating because I was traveling by myself. I was going to all these places that nobody spoke English. I did at that point. I bought a CD player that was an MP3 CD player. So you could burn CDs of MP3s and keep the 20.
Oh, so you could have like hundreds of songs.
Have 100, like 5-10 albums on one CD, and you could sort of navigate through them. And so when I started burning all the CDs for it, I picked as many multi-track albums as I could, and there were all these bonus these tracks.
What do you mean multi-track album? Every album has multiple tracks.
More like, so like there were a lot of bonus things, or there was a lot of B-sides. One of the things that was on there that I didn't...
You had Infinite Sadness and Melancholy.
You had like that,
but in that order.
That was an Elvis Costello album that also had all of the demos from that album and all of the tracks live from that album. And so I burned that. And so it was just, I had all of this music that I had chosen for sort of volume over like actually picking it out, where it was sort of like, I like that guy. Let's get
everything he ever did
and cram it on this. Or like Sage Francis, that Sick of Waiting Tables album was on there. And it was just, that's all B-sides. I knew I liked one Sage Francis album.
Nice.
So there was a lot of sort of just like, it sort of the best of the old world, the worst of the new one.
And where was the trip?
Amsterdam, Germany.
Amsterdam?
Amsterdam.
Gormany?
Gormany, West Fruville, East Fruville.
Mm-hmm.
East
Fruville Station is my favorite movie.
Oh, Jesus. Does not turn out well for those Fruville residents.
Graham Blanston.
Italy. I went to Italy, went to France, and then I went to London, spent some time in London. And that was the amazing thing about London, was I got to London and everybody was speaking English, and it was just like a fucking, I was like, oh my God, I can eavesdrop on people, or I understand, like,
as opposed to feeling just kind of disconnected.
Just like, I'm just going to have to wander around until I figure out how I can point at the food I want at the hotel rooms and stuff like that. So that was really cool. That's one of the reasons it was so isolating. And I fell into all this music that I had that I hadn't necessarily picked out. And Elvis Costello was somebody that I would like, I had heard of and kind of enjoyed one or two songs. And then I had three albums by him, his first three albums, and just sort of fell into those and was like, this is amazing. And what was amazing was having this experience with all this music and then coming back and going like, now I'm home and I can go to record stores and I can sort of like put together everything and all that stuff that inspired me, but I couldn't figure out anything about it because I wasn't really around the internet or anything like that. It gave me like a whole new appreciation for this stuff.
That's really rad. Neil, what's your one?
Oh, what's next?
What's the other one?
I picked two songs. It was two songs. So what's the other one?
I sent you three. I don't remember. I did it at 6:30 this morning.
All right. There was Dead Leaves on the Dirty Ground?
Sure.
What's this from?
This is from Christmas 2001.
Was everybody still a little upset over 9/11?
Everyone was still upset about 9/11.
Yeah.
Especially
the guy with the Hummer.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, that was the following year. This was still like
4 months.
So he was getting it painted. He was IDing the Hummer.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. He was using CAD.
This is probably how he got the money. It was all Christmas money, and he's like, "I'm getting a Hummer."
But my grandmother died shortly before 9/11, and my grandfather got remarried shortly after.
9/11. Ooh. My grandfather had a girlfriend that showed up immediately, and they're like, "Yeah, they've been dating for like 15 years." I'm like, "Oh, weird."
Ooh.
Yeah, no one ever got like the full story, but yeah, he married this lady that lived down the street like a month or two after my grandmother died, and then they went to Florida and stayed in the same place that my grandmother and he used to stay in for Christmas. And my mom was like, I was living in D.C. at the time, and I was like, we should go. They invited us down. Let's go. I was like, all right. And for the first time in probably like 5 years, I was subjected to like going to the airport with someone else.
Oh.
Like I was so used to doing my James Bond shit, like getting there super early, chucking my shoes in, getting through security as fast as I could.
Yeah.
And then just loving every minute of it and then getting drunk at some bar. And I was like, I had to go through like Ronald Reagan Airport with my parents and my sister and like, they don't know how to fucking do it right. And I was like losing my shit. And I was like, I'm never doing this. I'm never traveling with anyone ever again.
Yeah.
I lost my mind. But yeah, I had a Discman and I was listening to this album a lot because we got the whole catalog at the magazine for, you know, review purposes. And I was like, these guys are good. It's pretty basic. Drummers aren't really great, but it's cute.
And then you wrote a pilot aren't really about great, that.
But she's exactly my style.
Yeah. But yeah, I listened to this and I remember like, yeah, we just hung out with Grampy and Anne. And then
folks, you really had to see the eyebrows that went into Anne's name there.
And then the other memory from that trip is I went to the Barnum and Bailey Museum.
Really?
The Sarasota circus?
Yeah, the Sarasota, Florida. That's where the Barnum and Bailey Museum is. It's pretty fun.
Was it fun?
It's not this album that's that.
Because I went there with my family and I put on headphones and listened to this album. Didn't talk to anyone.
Slow pushing on Neil. All right, we're going to take a break with a song by Sore Thumb. This is the song Suicide Mission from Hell. Enjoy it. It is a submitted track. We'll be right back. Hey, all right. That was Sore Thumb with Suicide Mission from Hell. Great song. Great song. Good band. Putting out something new very soon. And we're very happy to play them.
Obviously influenced by Richard Lewis.
From Hell. If you like any of the music that we play, please be sure to check them out. Put it on your Apple Music, on your Spotify. Put it, even if you're not even going to listen to it, just like put it on. Tweet at them. Say you heard them. Follow them on Twitter or on Instagram. Say you heard them. That stuff means a lot.
Produce their next album.
Yeah, exactly.
Draw some fan art.
Anywhere in between.
And go see them live. Write
graffiti.
Yeah. That's kind of about it for our show, guys. How do you feel about today?
I feel it was real tight.
Yeah.
It was a little too tight, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be that kind of party. I'm going to stick my dick in the mouth.
We're not starting over.
Yeah, no, that's...
Oh, okay. I thought we were just going to...
What was the...
I thought that was like a test run.
Yeah.
Warm-up.
What was the...
I felt like I had too many music news segments. I should bring down the amount of...
No, I don't know. We had fun. We cut it up.
Yeah.
What was the slogan that we came up with? Jonah Radio, better than dead air, jazzing up dead air. I don't remember. All right, that was going to be something I'd take home. But
that's that's the slogan. The entirety of what you just said. Jonah. That's the slogan, man. That's the shit.
How about a T-shirt that just says, "That's the shirt, man."
Yeah.
That's the
right.
T-shirt. That's the show.
It's Jonah Radio. This is our shit. Better than dead air.
Better than dead air.
But I wanted to thank Cash Hartzell, our producer, Neil Mahoney.
Thank you, Neil.
And it is time to lull you to sleep. For all of those who would listen to this while going to bed,
yeah,
that's
this is
weird.
This is almost perfect for you guys.
Yeah,
but it's
99% invisible to go to bed, like I did.
Oh, that's good. Well, let's do a transition into we'll do nature sounds and. You know, like Schumann's Renaissance or Schumann's Resonance or whatever. So it's all just making noises for people to go to sleep too. Okay, you do that. You do the tone. Neil, do you want to do sleep, motherfucker, sleep, motherfucker, sleep, sleep, motherfucker, sleep, motherfucker, sleep. Don't have dreams about dying tomorrow. Don't have dreams about dying in your sleep. Sleep, motherfucker, sleep, motherfucker, sleep, sleep, motherfucker, sleep, motherfucker, sleep.
Bow.
Yeah. To send you on your way, we're going to play a song that makes me cry. It is the song that Adam Sandler does on his latest special and on his recent episode of SNL. And it's about his friend Chris Farley. It's very nice, and it's a sweet song, and it makes me very sappy.
I'm gonna take.
Nope, that's not it.
I would pay to see Sandler do that.
This is Adam Sandler doing the Chris Farley song on SNL. Tune in next week. Soon enough, we'll be able to announce where we're headed as a podcast.
To the future.
The future.
And beyond.
First time I saw me was sweeter than honey. Plaid jacket and belt too tight, and he wasn't even being funny. Then he cartwheeled around the room and slow danced with a cleaning lady. He was a one-man party. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my friend Chris Farley. Whether he was the bumblebee girl or living in a van down by the river. He loved the Bears and Dicka dance at Chippendales with Swayze. When they replaced his coffee with Folgers, he went full on crazy. The sexiest cap girl and meatloaf in the band. Without him, there'd be old lunch lady in lunch lady land. You know I'm thinking about my boy Chris Farley. After a show, he'd drink a quart of Jack Daniels, then stick the bottle right up his ass. But hungover as hell, that Catholic boy always showed up to morning mass. We'd tell him, slow down, you'll end up like Belushi and Candy. Said, those guys are my heroes, that's all fine and dandy. I ain't making that stuff up, that's the truth about my boy Chris Farley. Saw him in the office crying with his headphones on, listening to a Casey and the Sunshine Band song. I said, buddy, how the hell is that making you so sad? Then he laughed and said, just thinking about my dad. The last big hang we had was at Timmy Meadows' wedding party. We laughed all night long, all because of Farley. But a few months later, the party came to an end. We flew out to Madison to bury our friend. Nothing was harder than saying goodbye, except watching Chris's father have his turn to cry. Hey, buddy, last moved on, but you still bring us so much joy. Make my kids laugh with your YouTube clips, or Tommy Boy. Yeah. And when they ask me who's the funniest guy I ever knew, I tell them hands down, without a doubt, it's you. Yeah, I miss hanging out, watching you try to get laid. But most of all, I miss watching you torture Spade. You're a legend like you wanted, but I still wish you were here with me. And we were getting on a plane to go shoot Grown Ups 3. Yeah, life ain't the same without you, boy. And that's what I'm singing about. I'm singing about my boy Chris Farley. And if we make enough noise, maybe he'll hear us. Give it up for the great Chris Farley.
I guess who's back in the motherfucking house with a fat dick for your motherfucking mouth? It's me, Snoop Dogg, and you're listening